Now, everything old is new again. America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Let's start right out. Hey, what happened? As you know, back in 1970, I started on a series called What Happened? And every time something would go wrong, I would look at the camera and say, hey, what happened? We had a lot of fun with that and a lot of other catchphrases. I got a real red wagon. And I can't do my work. And I believe I was the first one to use the phrase, I don't think so.
Well, I'm sorry for laughing right at the beginning. This is Douglas Viviani with the spirited David Cohen on Everything Old is New Again. That was Fred Willard. I don't know if you remember that movie, Mighty Wind. And he's doing a little bit of a parody, or if you will, about catchphrases. And that's what our show is about today.
Yes.
There are catchphrases in everyday life. There's tons of catchphrases on television in the old days. Now there's some, but the question is, why do we even have them? Are they used the same way now as in the past? Do we enjoy them? By the way, what is a catchphrase?
What is a catchphrase?
You know, what's the Webster?
I looked it up, Doug. I looked it up. Catchphrase, according to Merriam-Webster, is a word or expression that's used repeatedly and conveniently to represent or characterize a person, group, idea, or point of view.
Well, now that we've lost half of the audience based on that discussion, what I would suggest
is... what do you mean?
There's a different definition, too, in television, especially recently, because Seinfeld's got tons of catchphrases where they'll use, you know, the catchphrase in one episode, but then America, or, you know, lots of people, go back and repeat that at the water cooler or wherever else, and so therefore it becomes, I think, a catchphrase, even though it was just once or used once on the show.
Right. So what's your definition of a catchphrase then? You didn't like the Merriam-Webster?
No, I did like the Merriam-Webster, okay. But it got a little technical towards the end there. You kind of lost me. But the idea is it's a phrase that's used over and over again. Do we need to go any further than that?
Well, that describes a person or a group or an idea, and it says, et cetera.
Okay, well, the et cetera falls under, this falls under the category of et cetera,
I would
suggest.
It definitely falls under the category of et cetera.
and where did it start from? I'm sure the Egyptians had this. We do this in everyday life, say things that...
You think Egyptians had catchphrases?
Absolutely, there's no doubt.
The pyramids again, like that sort of thing?
Something like that. Yeah, I would say that the first recorded catchphrases were from some comedians from vaudeville, though. And the best known of those have this to say.
I'm a bad boy.
And that was an ID or, you know, a catchphrase that really brought to radio the identification of Lou Costello, and if you notice how high his voice is, it's not always that high in the movies.
Right.
A little bit of trivia there. Back in the day when they started out on the radio in the 40s.
This is Abbott and Costello.
Abbott and Costello. They were told, listen, you guys sound too similar, the voices. You've got to be different. So one of the voices was a rather high voice that Costello used, and then he accentuated that with this I'm a bad boy, which was their first catchphrase. There were some others that
are our voices too similar? Because I could go up like this if that helps.
It doesn't help whatsoever. In fact, if we sound like one voice, that's fine too. It sounds like one guy just monologuing to himself. That'd be even more interesting.
I can go lower also.
Oh, that would be good. All right, so do that.
All right, let's continue with catchphrases.
Well, all right, you sound exactly like the actor in The Shadow.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The Shadow knows.
I mean, it almost sounds like you. Do that. Do The Shadow Knows.
The Shadow Knows.
Yeah. All right, not bad. That was iconic back in the 1930s.
From what we understand.
Yes, and 40s. Orson Welles, by the way, was the first Shadow. And again, remember, this is a time when radio was it. There was no television. Again, of course, there were movies, and it was just starting out, and, you know, movies were in infancy.
But the point is, there were catchphrases before TV.
Absolutely, absolutely. And
play another one.
Really well-known one right now from the radio.
Fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty high-o silver, the Lone Ranger.
But I mean, that's a great cereal. They call it a cereal. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Not, you know, like Frankenberry. But a cereal was a show on the radio that continued to go on and on with the same characters. And I guess you could say series is another way to say it. But back
right.
then.
They called them cereal.
They called them cereal. And it was just, I mean, the Lone Ranger made its name by, you know, Hyo Silva. And that music, by the way, I would almost argue is a catchphrase. Because if you listen to those episodes, and they're still on the air at some point, you can listen to other radio shows that play full old shows, and you'll hear, or on the internet, you'll hear at the end of every half hour episode, when he comes to save the day, that music is being played.
And it became, I don't know, to me, I used to use that. Like if I had to hurry up with a job I was doing, I'd start humming it, you know, to move faster.
So it's not part of the
Merriam,
you know, the dictionary definition because it's a song, but it works.
Right, it is not a word or phrase.
Right, but it works. Let's listen to some comic character.
What's up, Doc?
I mean, there's, of course, Bugs Bunny. Iconic, everybody knows that. That,
right.
believe it or not, goes back to the 1930s. That was a short before films were played, 30s and 40s. I think it was the 40s, actually, early 40s. Bugs Bunny would come on and, you know, a little short, and he had that phrase almost every episode.
Cool.
Another one that we look back and
how do you know about them? Elementary, my dear Watson.
There he is, Sherlock Holmes.
Right? Yeah.
So these are the early, early ones, again, from radio, and that's from early movies back in the 1940s with Basil Rathbone or Sherlock Holmes. Then in the 50s, we had catchphrases, pretty much the ones that I'm talking about, where they used once, but then America continued to use them. Let's hear one you hear like that.
Do you want to go to the moon? Do you want to go to the moon? Bang, zoom!
Actually, I stand corrected. That one is repeated a lot on that show.
It is.
But that show had a lot of other ones like, you know, Hello Ball.
Right.
Golf.
Address the Ball,
ones.
Hello Ball.
You know, I mean, so that was, again, it's starting to roll and you're seeing it happen more and more. And then, they're all over the place. So it's in the 1960s.
Missed it by that much.
I see nothing. I know nothing.
My name is McCoy. I'm a doctor.
What am I, a doctor or a moon shuttle conductor?
I'm a doctor, not a bricklayer.
Look, I'm a doctor, not an escalator.
I'm a doctor, not a mechanic.
I'm a doctor, not an engineer.
No, you're an engineer.
Okay, what is happening now, Jay?
Well, we're going to return to everything old is new again with Doug and Dave.
Oh, okay. I got nothing else better to do.
Hey, Johnson!
Oh, you don't have to call me Johnson. My name is Raymond J. Johnson, Jr. Now, you can call me Ray, or you can call me Jay, or you can call me R.J., or you can call me R.J.J., or you can call me R.J.J., Jr. But you doesn't have to call me Johnson.
I don't get it. What are they laughing at? I found this comedy album in the closet.
Oh, Ray J. Johnson Jr. You can call me this and you can... He's the man who taught America to laugh. Well, if there was a Mr. 1976, it was certainly him.
Well, did it come with a booklet that you follow along? Because what's here is not funny.
You're wrong. It is funny. And let me tell you why. But you can't explain comedy.
I'm not coming out until I crack this.
Or you can call me RJ.
Johnson got another one.
Welcome back to Everything Old is New Again. That's kind of obscure, but that was a 1970s comedian that used a catchphrase, sort of like, I guess, like Red Buttons did with the same punchline, although Red Buttons actually was more creative because he had different jokes. This is the same joke over and over and over and over and over again. He would spotlight himself on all the different variety shows. You'd see him show up on, you know, whatever it might be, Carol Burnett every variety show imaginable.
He
doing
was ubiquitous.
That
routine.
Yes, and that was from Family Guy, that little clip there where they revisited Johnson. And,
you must have loved that.
I absolutely love it. I believe it or not, I'm not really a fan of the new catchphrases, let's say from 1990 on. We'll talk about that in a few minutes, but really was a fan of the catchphrases. And probably one of the only ones that I really like is Johnson.
That's funny because I like catchphrases. I liked them since the days of radio that you were playing earlier. The one I can't stand is that one.
So we're at real.
I'm like the kid. I don't get it. It's not funny. Well, if you lock me in the room like the kid did, I still wouldn't think it's funny.
I don't know. I saw a smirk on your face. I think if we play it again, and we may later on, we'll see if you actually crack a smile to the Jay Johnson routine.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll continue our discussion of catchphrases. Let's listen to another one that is and was iconic, I guess you'd say, in the 70s and 80s.
Thank you very much.
Very loud, but that was Andy Kaufman from Taxi.
Well, I didn't even hear it.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah.
He was a very different comedian, type of comedian.
That's an understatement.
Yeah, but they tried to put him into a category when he did Taxi, right, as a, you know, just the goofy next door neighbor kind of, and he hated that. He recoiled, but he had this character that he brought in to the show from he was on the Dick Van Dyke Show. It was a variety show, and that character would come out, and anyway, he made a whole career on television of that until he got disgusted with it and went on to his wrestling.
Right.
let's hear some others from the 70s.
Well, all I hear all day long at school is how great Marcia is at this, or how wonderful Marcia did that. Marcia, Marcia, Marcia.
And it all belongs to Kid Dynamite!
Listen to that crowd, just like hysterical.
They would wait for it. They would wait in anticipation, and when he said it, they went crazy.
Now, that was Fonzie Sanford and Son. I mean, of course, before that was Brady Bunch. They only used that one once.
Marcia.
But Fonzie Sanford and Son with, you know, Coming to Get You, Meet You, Elizabeth, and
Jimmy Walker with Kid Dynamite.
Those
Dynamite.
Were used almost every episode. And you would hear that, and you would wait for it. Did you hear that crowd laugh at Dynamite? I mean, that was amazing. Next is, I would say this. The 1970s was the catchphrase golden age, and it continues with Saturday Night Live.
To the wild and crazy life! Too early
for cheeseburger. I
gotta tell you, darling, from the bottom of my heart, you look impressive. You up close, I tell you, you look marvelous, darling.
Thank you very much.
It's fabulous, you know, and for me, I would rather look good than to feel good, and you know who you are. You look marvelous, darling.
That's Billy Crystal at the end, and of course Dan Aykroyd and Steve Martin and John Belushi throughout those other two clips. Saturday Night Live in its heyday, and there were a couple different times when it was really great. I don't know really watch it too much now, but even now, the most popular skits are ones, I would argue, that used catchphrases.
Right.
Because Cheeseburger was on at least 10 times.
Right.
Wild and Crazy Guy, every time Steve Martin guest host, they were doing
you that. He had to say it.
Yes.
Well, the other thing is just, again, getting back to the definitions of catchphrases, we are only focusing in on catchphrases from TV shows.
Oh, that's true.
Because catchphrases from commercials, TV commercials, radio commercials, that's a whole other thing.
So
and
is
from movies.
And
movies is a whole other thing. So this is just television.
But what is the fascination with catchphrases? I mean, it's so funny.
What's the fascination with us having to do a catchphrase show just from TV? Like, there's so much out there. We have to boil
and it down. I'm telling you, there's a lot that I didn't include. But I went serious with it, too, because sometimes serious shows use catchphrases.
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger. No, Will Robinson. Danger.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Live long and prosper.
You're fired. You're fired.
You're fired.
You're fired.
You're fired.
You're fired.
You're fired.
You're fired.
You're fired.
You're fired.
You're fired.
Dave, that's you're fired. Just want to tell you that. That's the new news for you. I get a chance to.
You also fired Captain Balzac. I knew I was next.
All right. That's Donald Trump. But, of course, we've got Star Trek in there. You've got sports, you know, yes. when the Olympics.
In miracles.
Yeah, with Michaels when we won the Americans won it, the gold cup.
So these phrases just become part of the vernacular. I mean, and some of them can be around for decades. People are still saying them. And some are brand new, which we'll get to in a minute.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, You're Fired is a new show, a new-ish.
Relatively.
I don't know anybody really saying that too much. But
no, but people know it. They know it.
Say Donald Trump, you know, if you're talking to Donald Trump, and it's going to come up that he says that all the time. And so it's interesting, and I want to explore a little bit when we come back as to why do we even need catchphrases? What are they all about? Why do they permeate serious television? It permeates, sports, reality TV, goes back, you know, to the comedies. What's that about?
You know, one of my theories about...
Well, we can explore it now.
Huh?
Yes, go ahead.
What else are we going to talk about?
Yeah, no, I misspoke.
No, go ahead. What else are we going to talk about right now? Go for it.
I want to talk about apple pie and the recipe that I'm kidding. Go ahead.
baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet.
Correct.
Sorry, commercial. That's another show.
Yes,
that was not a TV show.
Yeah.
One of my theories about catchphrases is it's a way, get this one, it's going to blow your mind a little bit.
There you go, okay.
It's a
you
way.
You actually thought about this ahead of the show? You prepared
a
little bit?
I didn't walk in here, you know, not knowing anything, which I usually do. But I think that producers and directors and writers are smart, and catchphrases are a way, before we had this whole viral thing with the internet, okay, to promote the show. It's free advertising because people start saying the catchphrase in the workplace. Hey, what's that from? Oh, it's a show, blah, blah, blah. And suddenly you've got more viewers because of the catchphrase.
I agree 100%.
And you're blown away.
I'm not blown
away.
Come
on, you're a little impressed.
I am impressed, yes,
right.
A smidge.
That's all.
But I would also suggest that it's interesting that, let's say Dynamite. Let's just take Dynamite for a minute.
Dynamite.
That show, again, they use that every single episode. Yes, I can understand, okay, someone talks about it around the water cooler and they start using Dynamite and whatever. You think it's interesting, let me find and listen to that show. Once you hear the show once or twice or three times, you've heard that, you know, catchphrase used, how is it still funny? Like that show, it went on for like years when he did that. And that's when we go back to Fred Willard, who was making fun of it. It was so funny.
Well, because you start laughing at the fact that you used to think it was funny. Then the story itself of the catchphrase becomes funny. Like if you say Dynamite, you instantly laugh when you hear Dynamite, right?
We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. I just want to listen to the Honeymooners theme, and we'll be back in 10 seconds. Talking about the catchphrase and everything old is new again.
Welcome. This is Davros from Doctor Who, and you are listening to Everything Old is New Again. With Douglas Viviani and David Cohen. Be very afraid.
Thank you very much.
Listen to the applause and laughter after Thank You Very Much from Andy Kaufman.
I know.
It's amazing. Again, catchphrases. We're here back on Everything Old is New Again, talking about catchphrases with the feisty and exuberant David Cohen.
I'm getting a little uncomfortable with these adjectives here. Feisty and exuberant.
I don't know if they're appropriate.
I feel like I have to live up to that now.
That's why I do it. It gives you a little, you know, punch in the arm there, a little shot and some of the, like a little adrenaline.
Because otherwise I'm just this lump on a log, is what you're saying.
No, not necessarily, but hey, we could all use a little motivation every so often.
All right. The vivacious Doug Viviani.
Oh, see, I like that. That's good. Well, Viviani, by the way, in Italian is another way of saying vivacious.
Is it really?
Full of life, yes.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know.
Very, very, very rough translation, but we'll go with it.
No, that's that suits you. I did not know that.
There you go.
See, that Johnny Carson catchphrase.
There we are. And you use them every day.
I did not know that.
But now, you use that sort of to get a laugh or a little bit of a smile, and then that leads right into my question about catchphrases is, what is the importance of them? And in my, look or review of catchphrases, I kind of don't like them because I've seen Johnny Carson too, let's say. Not to use that. But and I know that quote too. So, but you say it, and in some way, it happens a lot with Seinfeld, you know, people around the water cooler would talk about it and say, you know, whatever the quote was from the night before. And all of us saw the show, but the guy that's, or gal that said it, in some way, I think psychologically, and I might be wrong, but to me, grabs or tries to garner ownership of that line, and thereafter the laughter that comes with it. But meanwhile, Seinfeld or, you know, Johnny Carson or whoever was responsible for the creativity of that catchphrase.
So in place of a person's, you know, non-creative, you know, non-imagination, they're stealing someone else's line to get a laugh. Is
correct. Correct. Now, I don't know if that sounds, I don't know, does that sound like, I don't know.
No, you listen, I've seen it. And now that you say it, yes, I've known people that do that, myself included. But I think also on the positive side, it is something that brings people together because
yes.
It's a commonality. They, especially when someone does bring it up in a witty real-life situation, they'll come up with a Seinfeld saying and the whole room cracks up. It's like talking about the weather. Everybody knows the show, and you know, in this way, they're getting a good laugh out of something they all can relate to.
Right, and it basically is like the lowest common denominator of the crowd. Let's say, not in a bad way. I'm saying in a good way, in that the crowd then gets to, or the whatever the number of people you're talking to, get to share in the experience and the laugh all over again.
True.
But then again, there are other people that have said catchphrases for years on end that at some point it's just not funny, you know. We've talked about Seinfeld. Let's listen to some of the catchphrases. There's tons, but let's just refresh our memory on a few of them.
Boy, these pretzels are making me thirsty.
These pretzels are making me thirsty.
These pretzels are making me thirsty.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
He's secretly referred to as the soup Nazi.
No soup for you.
No man.
No man.
A Festivus for the rest of us.
If every instinct you have is wrong, then the opposite would have to be right.
Yes. I will do the opposite.
I met this lawyer. We went out to dinner. I had the lobster bisque. We went back to my place. Yada, yada, yada. I never heard from him again.
I mean, you do laugh. I can't stop from laughing from it. But the use of it, if someone kept on saying in theory, yada, yada, yada to you, like, you know, every week for 40 weeks, sooner or later, aren't you going to tire of it?
You mean on the show itself?
No, well, on the show is one thing, like the dynamite, but also around the water cooler. There are people that just continue to do this stuff.
So they keep the catchphrase going every day.
Exactly, and it's, I don't know, it's a little too much.
Yeah, I've heard that too. So, yeah, I agree.
But there are some that are a lot of fun. Let's bring back some memories here with Different Strokes.
What you talking about, Willis?
I never even saw the show.
But I know the line.
Yeah, and that if you go on the internet, that is one of the top rated
catchphrases.
People actually rate like we do. People are nuts like we are. And they go on YouTube and they list the ratings of catchphrases. And that's universally number one. Here's another one from some character, Urkel.
Can I do that? Did I do that?
I don't know. I don't relate to it. It's a little beyond me. But again, it
was popular.
It was hugely popular. But that one really reminds me of, again, back to the original. We started with Fred Willard. You know, made a whole career out of that. I mean, it's kind of, wasn't he on Dancing with the Stars recently, by the
way?
Yeah. And
because of the catchphrase.
Right. I mean, that's it.
That was a big part of it.
Funny. Let's try something a little more recent.
How you doing? Hey, how you doing?
That was big for a while. And that's a little more recent. Not recent, just to be clear. But, yes, that was wildly popular.
Joey from Friends, yeah. Probably the reason why I didn't watch the show.
Really?
Yeah, this is when I started to turn. I just started to turn against these catchphrases, these last couple that we've played.
Turn against catchphrases, not against Friends.
Well, I turned against catchphrases. I watched Friends. They're using that catchphrase all the time. Finally, I said, you know, I don't want to see. I'm done. I want to see something original. I'm done with this. Yeah. I don't know. That's just me. I sort of matured past the catchphrase. Does that make any sense?
So, it does. So today's you're not into any of today's catchphrases, as few as they are.
There's a very few that I like. There's only. I would say recently there's very, very, since Seinfeld, let's put it that way. After Seinfeld, there's none that I like.
Do you have any that are more recent?
I have a couple more recent, of course.
That's what she said! That's what she said! That's what she said!
That's what she said.
That's what she said?
Pretty good.
When I do kid, you will know it by my use of the word bazinga.
Bazinga. Bazinga.
I don't really, it doesn't do it for me. Yeah. You tell me, I don't know.
It doesn't. And bazinga is mocked today also. It's a catchphrase, but now it's disdained. But,
yeah, and they don't use it either at all in the show anymore either.
No, they don't. But what? So why? Why are there no more catchphrases in TV these days?
I think as an audience, just like there's other forms of entertainment that have matured and changed over time, I think that we've matured as an audience beyond, you know, like we started out with the radio in the 1940s with catchphrases to be identification of characters. Then it became in the 70s, these catchphrases were funny to, as you said, to advertise the show and also to kind of, you know, have some fun with, in comedy.
Right.
And then a little bit in the serious nature as well. But now, at this point, I think we want, maybe I'm wrong, what do I know? But I think we want more content for a joke than just saying a catchphrase, like a whole episode, just so Jimmy Walker could say dynamite. I mean, that's basically what that was.
Right, right.
But meanwhile, I loved it back then, so I can't say, you know, like, it's a dichotomy. I loved it back then, but now...
Maybe it's a trend. Maybe it's just they're just not doing them now, and then at some point they'll come back.
It's possible. I mean, they are kind of doing them now, but certainly not as much.
No, that's for sure. Not on TV shows. Commercials, again, is a whole other thing.
Yeah, and movies. They do movies a lot.
Right.
So catchphrases is a fun topic that we're going to continue talking about in a few minutes. I like that Friends theme, but I don't know why I like it so much. I like the music.
It was a cool song.
Is music a catchphrase unto itself?
That's an interesting question.
We talked about a little bit. I had
well,
fun
we're
with
moving
that.
On up, moving on up, right? And people say, hey, we're moving on up, and right. They know exactly what you're talking
and
about.
And right away, exactly. We'll continue that discussion after we hear a little bit of the Friends theme. And Everything Old is New Again.
This is Everything Old is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Oh, you doesn't have to call me Johnson. My name is Raymond J. Johnson Jr. You can call me Ray, or you can call me Jay, or you can call me Johnny, or you can call me Sonny, but you don't have to call me Johnson.
Now, is that the best catchphrase of all time? I don't know.
You thought you were going to see a smirk on my face.
I did. You were very, very serious. No, not at all.
I don't understand it. I'm really trying. I don't get it.
But that, and I played for you the original. That's the original Jay Johnson talking about, you know, his name and how not to pronounce it. You know, like you listen to The Simpsons, there's catchphrases and stuff and I carumba and whatever. I mean, it doesn't do anything for me.
Didn't they do an episode where they were mocking themselves about the catchphrases and they just kept playing one after another? Did you see that episode?
I did, and I wish you would have told me about that in preparation of the show. I would have actually played that.
Yeah, because we were doing catchphrases, right? Yeah, they actually went back. Well, no, it's good that I didn't tell you because it gives us something to talk about for the next few minutes.
Well, go ahead, talk.
So they said, I forget who it was, Lisa said, you know, what are we, just a bunch of characters who are only known for their catchphrases? And one by one, like every character on the show, from Barney Belching, everyone, believe it or not, had a catchphrase. And you didn't realize it at first until you saw them back to back.
Well, that's interesting. I wonder if the writers actually, during the creation of those episodes over the last, how long has it been on for, like 20 years?
25 years, I believe.
Crazy. Over that time period, if they, in any of the episodes, intentionally, you know, created these catchphrases, or is it one episode where one character said something and got such a laugh that they said, hey, you know what, let's use that again. Like, I wonder how that came about. Is it organic? Is it just something that happens? Or is it something that is written on purpose? Like, this is going to be the catchphrase for Fonzie, and it's going to be A, and we're going to let him say that every episode. You know, like, I'm right. Sure different shows did it different ways.
I think so. I mean, I read something. Tina Fey had, it wasn't really a catchphrase. It was funny. She said it occasionally. I want to go to there. And it was her daughter who actually said it to her one day. She thought it was kind of funny. And she had her character, Tina Fey's character on the show, say that.
Right. And well, it reminds me, it's kind of the same. It kind of not, I mean, A Hard Day's Night, I'm just comes to mind. You know, the song. It just was an organic statement that Ringo said one day, and it became this iconic song. I mean,
exactly.
This is what I think it happens in real life too, but I think also as a person that just, you know, you live your life, you do repeat some sayings over and over again, and that may become your personal catchphrase.
That's true.
And then if you're famous, impersonators take that and, you know, like Cary Grant, you know, Judy, Judy, Judy. That's I didn't do the imitation, of course, but that's the...
Well, you have to be over 80 to really understand
exactly
where
know
that came
that
from.
Is. I'm trying to think of, there's not a lot of impressionists anymore.
Right.
Is that Frank Caliano?
Right.
But other than that, I don't know.
Audrey Bach, I mean, it's...
Yeah, but let's listen to Sam. Believe it or not, Sammy Davis Jr. started his career as an impressionist, and of course Frank
really?
Gorshin, who was the original Riddler in the 1970s Batman, was an impressionist.
You dirty rat.
Very short, and then probably...
Wait, so the first one...
That. The first one was Sammy Davis Jr., the second one was Frank Gorshin,
okay.
Doing James Cagney. Now, a lot of these catchphrases, they were in movies, or they thought were to be in movies. Like, play it again, Sam, for Bogart, never said it in the movie. He said, play it.
Right.
He never said, play it again, Sam, but
right.
It became his... I mean, really, even to this day... I don't know, 70 years after that movie, people, if you say that, you know that that's Humphrey Bogart. Play it again, Sam.
Right.
Or you dirty rat, maybe people will know that that's Cagney.
Even I Can See Alaska from my house. Sarah Palin never said that.
Right, right.
Tina Fey created that, and it was attributed to her.
Yeah, the power of the media, too, of course. It's a whole other discussion, but, I mean, it's important to talk about. Like, sometimes these things can come naturally just from... standard conversation on the radio or not, if you will. Long story short, if you will. Long story short, but in my world, with long story short, that's just a few of the goofy sayings that I seem to get stuck saying on this show.
You've improved, though, Doug. You have. I don't really hear you saying those too much anymore.
I have made a conscious effort of that at not saying those things.
Good boy.
I have said them a few times. I've slipped them by you, but not as often as I used to.
Right, and I don't give you grief for it because, you know, yeah, I know you're trying.
Thanks, Dad. But, you know, the thing is, the presentation of those three sayings came out of nowhere, came from being on the radio and, you know, performing a show and trying to get used to this and maybe being nervous or something, or even just trying to describe something over and over again. You use the same phrase. And it's interesting how I never use any of those phrases in real life.
You never use them outside the studio?
Outside the studio. I've never used those phrases.
Wow.
It's funny. You know, I don't say to a judge, you know, in my world, this person really didn't speed. You know what I mean? Like, it's weird that it comes about. I think the best catchphrases come about organically. I wonder if that's something that will happen eventually with this show. If any of those will become our catchphrase,
Not the ones you just said. You just got over.
Not.
You just kicked the habit. We don't.
I know. I hope not. But you know, we just talked about the media or people making impressions of impersonations of other people. That's what they would catch on to at this point.
Right.
If no one's ever doing that for us.
I told you before the name of our show is a catchphrase. Right?
That's true.
Sort of. Everything old is new again.
People have heard that saying before. Certainly.
I don't know where it came from, but.
But now we own it. We've copywritten that.
And no, you have.
No,
seriously?
No, I've not.
You can't.
I'm just trying to throw that out there. You really always crash down on my when I try to give a little bit of the illusion of radio and how much power it has.
That's my job, Doug. That's why you hired me.
Now, back in high school, Dave and I were in high school together. This is one of our favorite catchphrases we stole from TV.
How are ya?
we were saying before the show that there is no one outside of the two of us and maybe one other person from high school that would know what that even was.
Correct. That's SCTV.
Let alone why we adopted it as a catchphrase.
Which we have to explain. That's SCTV, a character created by Eugene Levy, which you know from the American Pie movies and some other things.
Right.
And he's Bobby Bittman there. A parody of like one of these comedians from the 1970s and 80s.
Yeah, because they had a parody of a talk show by, you know, parodying talk shows, and he would be this, you know, I don't know, who was he trying to be?
Sort of like a Bob Hope or something like
right.
that, you know?
And every time he came on the show, how are you?
So. And that was his catchphrase. So they were ahead of their time, or we're behind, whatever it might be, because they were investigating catchphrases in a fun way right then and there. We actually... had a break in high school. We stayed after high school a lot of the times, and
because we were bored.
I wanted to get the attention of some young lady who was in the band. If you remember this,
and oh, right.
We walked down to the band where at hall where they were rehearsing,
practicing, yep.
And we walked by and we like idiots. How are you? We did
both
that,
of us, yes,
and walked out.
But
and,
you know what? It was almost like in TV because we did it. If you remember, we did it a couple of times. And by the second or third time, the band members, when they saw us, they knew what was coming, and they started laughing before we even said it.
Exactly. Here's our other favorite one.
Then the guy says, yeah, now that I got it, how do I get rid of it?
We would use that one at parties left and right just to accentuate, you know, like you miss a joke and you're coming in around the corner, you hear the end of the joke.
It was when parties were kind of boring and we would just get some people around, guys we knew, girls we knew, and we said, okay, now we're going to just say this thing. It's going to sound like a punchline of a joke. When we say it, really, like, over the top laugh.
Right.
And it'll attract other people from the party. Oh, because it looks like we're having a great time, right?
It wasn't other people we were interested in. We were interested in other girls coming
yes.
over, of course.
Right. But it worked a lot.
Yes, because we would
and
do
you,
that.
You said you did that in college, too.
I did it in college all the time around, you know, a keg party, whatever. I don't know if you remember those college days where you're in a room, you know, and it's like 100 people and the capacity should be 20, and you're fighting for attention and it's loud and all that. So I would yell, you know, that punchline, and five or six of my buddies would know to laugh.
Know to laugh,
before
right.
you know it, it caught on, and almost every party I'd do it. And at some point, it all like... 100 people would be laughing because it was after a year of doing this. Now, isn't that weird? I would use a catchphrase to attract people in the way that I don't like
disdained.
That people
you
use it now.
Disdained when, that's right.
So it's interesting that I've come full circle on that, I guess. You know. Anyway, we'll come on back next week and talk about the Doctor Who convention. Everything Old is New Again. Check us out at everythingoldisnewagain.biz. Douglas Viviani and David Cohen for your listening pleasure.